Until very recently, Sonali Kolhatkar worked as an applications developer at the California Institute of Technology. She has an undergraduate degree in physics and astronomy from the University of Texas and a master's degree in astrophysics from the University of Hawaii. Sonali is also vice president of the Afghan Women's Mission, a group that works in solidarity with Afghans to help improve health and educational facility for Afghan refugees in Pakistan. Sonali has spoken out about women's rights and human rights in Afghanistan, as well as the responsibility of the U.S. to the people of Afghanistan. Her latest publication paper is in Berkeley Women's Law Journal, Impact of U.S. Intervention on Afghan Women's Rights. She's also host and co-producer of the morning show on KPFK in San Francisco. Please join me in welcoming Sonali Kolhatkar.
I arrived here by accident. I don't mean just on the keynote speakers panel today. I'm filling in for Davey D, as some of you may know. But in the field of journalism and media in general, I've been in it for about 6 months. And in many ways, it's similar to the way in which a topic that's very close to my heart arrived within the full view of the world's lens, and indeed the lens of the major and the independent media. After September 11th of 2001, the suffering nation of Afghanistan was really thrust into a global limelight. And along the way, my life has changed tremendously, as have, of course, many people's lives. And I want to take this opportunity to share some of the lessons that I've learned since last year pertaining specifically to the media. First, of course, the obvious observation of the mainstream media in the 6 to 8 months following the September 11th attacks was the sudden focus on the plight of Afghan women. It was as though CNN had just suddenly discovered a new phenomenon. Oh, did you hear that Afghan women are the most oppressed women in the world? Oh my God, did you know that the Taliban treat their women worse than shit, treat them like dogs worse than dogs? This has been going on for more than 5 years, for God's sake. So why the sudden revelation? It seemed as though you couldn't turn your head without coming across a documentary or a video special or a news article or a book which had on it, which was featuring the image of a veiled woman covered from head to toe, mute and without any resistance, entitled, "Oh, Beneath the Burqa, Under the Veil, Inside Through, Upside Down, Veiled Courage," you name it. And suddenly it was all over our faces. And the sickening and exploitative treatment of Afghan women by the mainstream media, of course, served the perfect justification for the war in Afghanistan, for the U.S.'s so-called war on terrorism, and innocent feminists across the nation and indeed the world praised George W. Bush for doing the right thing and saving those women. Because, of course, suddenly out of the blue, Afghan women were being oppressed, right? Because it's kind of like that philosophical mind game. If a tree falls in the forest and you don't hear it or see it, did it really fall? Well, no, not if the American media didn't cover it. So that was one of my major post-911 media lessons about the mainstream media. Another major lesson was the difference between the way the mainstream media treated the coverage of Afghan women and the treatment of women in India that happened at the same time. India is my home country. And after February of this year, when the carnage in Gujarat, the western state of Gujarat, was unleashed, hundreds, if not thousands, of Indian Muslim women were sexually assaulted, were raped, were gang raped, had their bodies cut up into pieces and burned. Pregnant women had their bellies slit open. And did you hear about this on your newspapers? How much of it did you hear? Did you hear about the fact that thousands of mostly Muslims were massacred in a matter of months and 100,000 were made homeless in the state of Gujarat in India with knowledge of the Indian government? and probably with a complicity of the Indian government? No, of course not, because the Indian government is our friend and is our friend in the war on terrorism. It wouldn't do to report on such an evil occurrence. Afghan women, of course, were smeared across our front pages to justify the war as political fodder for justification for violence, but not women elsewhere, and certainly not when it's our friends who are complicit in the murdering. So that was among the other lessons that I learned to do with the media in post 9/11 America and in the world. Now, I am new to media and new to independent media especially. I've been doing it since March, and it's been incredible. But some of the lessons that I think it's so important for us to critique ourselves so that we are that much stronger, that while we critique the mainstream media, we also critique ourselves and hold ourselves accountable so that we retain our integrity. And so I want to talk a little bit about one of the major lessons relating to the war that I think here in the independent media one can think about a little bit. And that is this issue of, you know, we've all heard that one man's terrorist is another's freedom fighter, right? And that's absolutely true in so many cases. But does that apply to fundamentalists? Does that apply to religious fundamentalism? Anti-freedom, anti-woman fundamentalists are no one's freedom fighters. And this, I think, is important for those of us in independent media and progressive activism to think about, that fundamentalism is rooted in patriarchy and violence against women, and that we should denounce it just as we denounce war. And at a time when the Islamic faith is being unjustly targeted in the U.S.'s so-called war on terrorism, it can be tempting for many of us, especially those of us who are journalist activists, to find common ground with the anti-imperialist stand of fundamentalist groups like the Taliban. But let us not fall into that trap. And that was some of which I had been seeing in the independent media, which had made me a little uncomfortable. Nobody deserves the kind of life that U.S. foreign policy or religious fundamentalists promise. Extremist Islamic... Extremist Islamic fundamentalism of the Taliban falls into the same category as the extremist Christian fundamentalism of John Ashcroft, which falls into the same category as the extremist Jewish fundamentalism that denies Palestinians their rights, which falls into the same category as extremist Hindu fundamentalism that denies the rights of non-Hindus to coexist in the same land. So for me, those were important lessons, or some of the important lessons that I have learned in my journey as an independent media maker, that I'm very, very privileged to be a part of KPFK and Pacifica. And I am here really today as a KPFK reporter, as part of the Pacifica Network, and the last major lesson that I have learned in post 9/11 months pertains to the internal aspect of independent media and the inherent contradictions between the progressive output of independent media like Pacifica and the non-progressive institutions on which Pacifica is internally based. The reclamation of Pacifica was one of the major victories for us in the progressive and independent media movement, and I am continuously thrilled and amazed to find myself a part of it. However, and there is a however, I find that doing my job at KPFK, which is producing, researching, preparing for, and hosting the morning show at KPFK, is the easy part of being at KPFK. It is being a worker at KPFK that is the difficult part. And I moved from a very, very stodgy, academic, stuffy, scientific setting into a very vibrant and dynamic, progressive one, only to find that At KPFK today, workers are in a system designed against their active participation. And this very much saddens me to say it. KPFK is a place where journalists are supposed to cover the labor struggles of other workers, like the International Longshore Workers Union and so many other struggles, but not speak up about having those rights ourselves. And I think that that is an important lesson for us to think about. We constantly hear this issue of, well, you know, it's a privilege to work at Pacifica. Yes, it is. But that privilege should come with some rights, because it's the same as the owner of a Nike factory saying to his Indonesian workers, it's a privilege to work for a couple of bucks a day, because without it you wouldn't have a job, et cetera, et cetera. You get my drift. This makes me very, very sad to say, but I have to say it. Today, KPFK is trapped under the thumb of an authoritarian management that's not unlike the previous one, and it is up to all of us who fought to reclaim Pacifica to have the honesty to admit that there is a problem. Things are not going to change overnight, just as the U.S. government is not going to change its policies overnight, but we need to constantly critique it, because we have so much invested in it. We have to remain vigilant and call it when we see it. That is our job as independent media, to examine ourselves within as well as without. The organizers are going to love me, because I'm actually going to finish in 10 minutes, not 15, because I thought I had a lot to say, but... So as I said when I started, just like we critique the mainstream media, just like we hold it accountable, we are that much stronger when we hold ourselves accountable. And at this exciting gathering where there are activists and media makers talking about reclaiming the media, it is up to us to do exactly that, to reclaim the media via the language we use, via the coverage we bestow, and the institutions on which we are based. Let us reclaim the media inside and outside. It's been an honor to address all of you, and I thank the organizers for giving me an opportunity to fill in for Davey D. Thank you.
Ha ha ha.